Wednesday, 3/12/25. We're going to look at kingdom finances tonight. This is for you. Have you ever had one?
Yes.
You do have one of these already?
I've read it many times, but I don't have one.
Okay. I'm sorry. There you go. I would say a lot of Christians know about tithing and maybe understand a little bit about that. But beyond that point, I don't think that people quite understand how God's kingdom is set up for God's kids to be healthy and to be wealthy. That's what He has for His kids. But it goes beyond the tithe, and we're going to look at that today. So, and I will say this, as you read that book, there's instances in there where health was directly linked to finances. Them not doing in a certain, one man didn't tithe, he had ulcers of the stomach, and Brother Hagin discerned by the Spirit of God that, he said, I see you laying over your couch on your sleeping porch, and you're just, your stomach's hurting and you can't, you know, all that's going on. And it was because he wasn't tithing. And when he decided, okay, I'm going to do right, the Lord healed him, or he got well. So he wants us to prosper. We've had a few young people come to our house, you know, trying to sell us stuff and different things, and ask, man, how do you get a house like this? It's an open opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to go to California. I thought, we ain't going to find it in California. No, I said, it goes by following God and doing what God tells you to do. Yeah. So, anyway. We started out living in a little trailer behind my dad's house. And here we are today. Many little places that we lived. But the Lord began to speak to us each time when we were to move and what we were to buy. And we followed Him in it. We had that inward witness on the inside. And when we started doing that, the Lord began to prosper us because we followed Him. Okay. One thing as a Baptist girl, I was instilled in me about tithing. I can remember the first little house that we rented, just a little tiny rent house, 2-bedroom. I had a little picture that was a wedding gift. Later, Brian broke it, but anyway, it was a little pottery. Had little ladybugs painted on it. And I used to put my tithe up there. Did that for a long time. We weren't going anywhere to give it, but I put my tithe back. It was just instilled at me, in me. And I don't know, I don't even know where I heard it. But I just did it. All right. So God wants to prosper His children in any way possibly. I mean, Jesus paid a dear price to give us salvation. That's soundness, wholeness, preservation, health, wealth, nothing missing, nothing broken, peace, shalom, whatever. If you want to do a whole search through the Strong's and through the Vines, it's always about good and wholeness that God has done for us. Okay, let's go look over now to 1 Samuel. We must learn a hard lesson that obedience is always better than sacrifice. What's sacrifice? Going our own way, doing our own thing. We sacrifice. When we've sacrificed the best when we decide to go our own way. And now we're going to just read an example of this. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Following the will of God is not just in certain things and not in others. It's in all things. Starting with verse 1 there. Samuel all said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. This is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. So what happened here? The Lord gave Saul his will. Saul did what he thought. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Saul rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Oh, did he? And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. Oh, the people. And the oxen, the sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath told or hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. So I don't need to read any more of that. So God could not trust him to follow his voice concerning the matters of the kingship. Okay, so God had to rip it from him. Okay, we're going to turn now to Isaiah 55. We'll put this together and read a few scriptures. Isaiah 55. starting with verse 1 there. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy with wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree. This is talking about prosperity here. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay, one other scripture, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9, we're going to start with verse 1 there. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In other words, you will follow God in your giving. He'll make sure that you abound and you have sufficiency in all things. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. What is the gift? The grace of giving, the gift, the ministration. Paul talks about an administrative service that is the grace of giving. I saw this over 30 years ago. It goes beyond the tithe, and it gives an accountability of the 90% that God has given you. In other words, for the kingdom's success and supply, you allow God to direct this over the tithe giving as He instructs you. This is where the true riches of the kingdom come in. Tithing will get you by. But if you want the riches of the kingdom, the 90%, you have to be willing to say, it's yours, Lord. Here's an example. I was at OCFC back, who knows, many years ago, probably 20 years ago. And I remember the guy's last, his name was Marshall, something or something Marshall. And he spoke, and he was a good speaker, and they were going to take up an offering. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to give? You want me to give $100? And he said, what have you got in your wallet? I said, I have $3. He said, give the $3. It's not about the amount, it's about the obedience. Well, most people would think, well, that's cheap. Isn't $100 better? Isn't bigger always better? Uh-uh. Obedience is better. We just saw that in Saul. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Most people think, well, you know, bigger's better. The more you give, the more you get. No, it's not about what you get. It's about being obedient. It's about listening to God's voice and sowing what He says to sow. Well, that sounds too cheap. I'm going to add something to it. Well, isn't that what Saul did? He added to the instructions of the Lord. Okay. The 90% is seed money, not need money. Let that sink in. It's not need money. It says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, your 90% is seed money. If you will look at it this way, you will never have a need. If you will follow God when He tells you to give and be obedient, you won't ever have a need again. If you give God checking privileges with your money, Lord, everything I got is yours. It'll change your life. That's how we got here. And I'm sure people out there, what are you doing with a big old house like that? You need to be downsizing. Well, if my father wants to give me a castle on the hill, what business is it of yours if I follow God? This isn't about amounts. Think about the widow's mite. Here Jesus is standing, and He's watching all these big dogs walk by, giving their big old amounts of money. And then all of a sudden, this little widow that had two mites, she pitches it in like it's all she's got. And that's what Jesus said. She's given more than all of you. Because she gave all she had. She said, Lord, all I got is yours. They did it out of their abundance for a big show for everybody to see how big of a giver they are. I'm telling you, in the church, this is all messed up. I used to hate those services where they put you on the spot to give. To me, that's a private thing. That's not something that you air to everybody so everybody knows. Have a banquet to raise money for the building. And the ones that gave all the money get a plaque and get recognized. And that one over there that couldn't afford but just a little bit, they don't get nothing. Well, maybe they followed God and they did everything God told them to do. God don't need your money. He needs your obedience. All right? Okay. This is the way Christians are supposed to operate. Um, Let's go to Romans 12. You have to have your mind renewed to this. These kids we talked to, they didn't have a clue about anything. All they thought was, yeah, if I get to some big city and I get all this opportunity, no, it'll probably be just the opposite. It says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wasn't your money your life? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm telling you, if you will follow God in obedience and everything that you have, because most people's finances are attached to their heart. You start messing with their money. We're fixed to see it when the crash happens about how people act when they think they don't got no money. We surrender our bodies to God's service. That includes the finances of the kingdom. Or this, what we give up and we lay down and we say, Lord, we'll follow you and we will obey you. That is financing the kingdom. That's what Paul was talking about, this grace of giving. He was trying to get out of people and admonishing people. We talked to you about this before. You knew this was coming. Getting all the churches to distribute, each person to let go. Well, I already paid my tithe. I already paid my dues. I ain't getting no more money out of me. Is that the way we're supposed to look at it? No, it isn't. Tithe goes into the storehouse. That's the church part of it. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I like Amplified. His way of doing and being right, then all these things should be added unto you. That principle applies here. That includes giving and in finances. Never eat all your seed. If you do, you will not have a harvest. Well, I just live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, I started way back, which is like paying your tithe 10%, and then I designated another 10% to do with whatever the Lord wanted us to do. Because that's all we had. We didn't have a whole lot at that time. But it grew over the years. All right. We have sown a lot of seed over the years, and we observe that there seems to be two categories here, those that give and those that don't. They either do or they don't. And the ones that don't are jealous of the ones that do. But they don't want to pay the price to do it God's way. A lot of people think tithing, that's it. And everything I'm going to get it because I'm a tither. Well, not necessarily so. Because we didn't really get much done just tithing. But when we got into saying, Lord, we want to help other people. And he started instructing us to buy people cars and do things like that. That's whenever things began to change for us. We stepped into that grace of giving. Most take the attitude, I ain't giving no more money. Because really, I heard someone say one time, well, you know, the scripture says, I shouldn't want wealth. I should just want enough just to get by, just to be sufficient, because that's evil. Now, I forget how the proverb's worded. Do you know what that proverb says? It's talking about, don't give me poverty or wealth. In other words, I might sin against the Lord if I don't.
It's Job, isn't it? Hmm? Isn't that in
Anyway, I didn't look that scripture up, but that's kind of the, yeah, you're supposed to retire and live in a trailer house. You know, that's what, you know, trailer park living. That's where we started, but we're not ending there, for sure. We have to prepare ourselves that we're willing to give anything away that the Holy Spirit speaks to us to do so. And it's been our, the pattern that when we have, what we get in return is better than what we had, what we gave away. Genesis 22:14 says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's the provider. We're not the provider. He's the provider. Okay. You can't outgive the Lord. You will never outgive him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son before you were ever born. He took care of all of this for you. One time, Danny went in to be counseled by, he was a pastor at that time. I won't even call his name, but anyway, he was talking, he was, didn't you go in for a career change? You went in for counsel for a career change, I think, and he...
Tell him about when I went and met with Don Palmer?
Yeah. And so, which I wasn't going to say his name, but anyway, thank you very much. But anyway, Don Palmer at Life Unlimited. Anyway, he said, well, give me, I think he said, I'll meet back with you in a week. Give me a chance to pray. And he said, I see over your life that you're a tither. Because he said, you can see how God has maneuvered you. Like, say, a company was going to merge with another company. Or whatever. The Lord always saw that you, he put you in a better position or moved you somewhere because of your giving and your and being a tither. And that's what really that little book, Obedience and Finances by Brother Hagin, is about. It's about being obedient when the Lord says give $5 whenever your whole week salary is $10. When that book was written, that's how old it is. Recently, the Lord had me give this to a young woman that she does a service for me. And I was praying about it because she's wanting to move to another part, another city because there's just more high-dollar clients there. In other words, she's chasing the money. And I was praying about it. I was thinking about not going back. And the Lord said, no, you give her that book. Because they're both, her and her husband are Christians. I don't know any much more than that. But the thing is, I told her, I said, you never chase money. I said, my husband lost one job in 50 years. And I said, it's because he chose money over what God wanted him to do. And then he got lost that job. So you never chase money. You chase God.
Money's a poor taskmaster.
That's for sure. All right, let's look at Acts 20 right quick. And I'll say this. If God can't trust you in money, he can't trust you in his ministry. He will not trust you if you cannot handle money. That's one of the biggest downfalls, for the love of money is the root to all evil. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is. Why? Well, you're sowing seed. You're taking money that you could have used for this or that, and you're planting it into the kingdom where God directs you. And since you did that, since you sought the kingdom first, then he says, well, I'm going to supply all their needs. I'm going to bless them because they honored me in it. Our whole life is to be this way, not just, well, I plunked my tithe in the bucket this week, I'm done. No, it goes a lot further than that. Even when we didn't have much money, I was always making cookies or candy or crocheting and giving it away. Look at me now. Friends would say, remember me. I always remembered them, but they never remembered me. Like I said, there's those you give and give and give to, and they never give back. But you know what? God always gives back. The goal is not them giving back or not being reciprocal, but God giving back. All right. Ecclesiastes 11. We need to set our mindset to the grace of giving. I remember hearing Jerry Savelle talk about when he first started out ministry with Brother Copeland. Didn't have nothing. I mean, he had, what, one coat, two pair of pants or something like that, or two coats and one pair of pants, I forget. That's all. And he said he was leaving for, I think it was 3 weeks with Brother Copeland, leaving Carolyn at home with two babies and no money, didn't have any money. So he had, well, he had $20 and he gave it to Carolyn. What'd she do? She went to church and sewed it. God took care of her. Now, how hard would that be to leave town, leave your wife and two babies, knowing?
He's going into the military. That's where he was going.
No, he's going with Brother Copeland.
No, but he got called to service too, and she did that when he got called to serve too.
Well, anyway, I'm just talking about the time with Brother Copeland. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Anyway, that's just the way Carolyn was, you know. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. See, we're not looking to this system to deliver us and help us. We've seen that. They're here to crush us. This world system. It's God we look to. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Oh, but I need that for my this and that and my so-and-so. The Lord said, well, I'm telling you to give it. So he's trying to give you an opportunity to meet your need or bless you. Open an avenue for you. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So when you've sowed to God, your supply's in God. It don't have anything to do with what's going on in the world. It bypasses this earthly, worldly system into the heavenly system where God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Three. I'll start with six there. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. There's some people, they just want something for nothing. That's what we have turned into, the freeloader nation. President Trump is turning all that around, but that's what the last 4 years was all about. Let's see how many illegals we can bring in and set them up in fancy hotels and let the taxpayers pay for it. That's just part of it. Receive welfare checks, taking our Social Security, which it's really not any security. Let you know. If we've sold to the Lord, that's where we're going to be getting ours from. It's been out of order. People think that that's okay, and it is not. This is what David said. This is Psalms 37, 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now David, he stockpiled for decades for his son to build God a house. If we give checking privileges, our checking privileges, he will teach us how to handle the riches of his kingdom. Tithing is just merely the start. Brother Hagin dealt with, I already read that to you. Seems divine health and obedience and finances go hand in hand. Just like the man with the ulcers. His conscience was bothering him. Opened them up to satanic attack. Now, I believe this. I don't believe there's no sickness and disease in the earth. Jesus paid for all that on his back. What is the devil got? He's got lies. But if you open the door to attack, then that's what happened to this man. He had a door open to attack. When he corrected it, it went away. So I encourage you today, get in on the grace of giving. I don't care what little you have. You let the Lord lead you so you can begin to, just tell the Lord, you got checking privileges with me.